If I were brave, I'd walk the razor's edge where fools and dreamers dare to tread.
Welcome to Vibrant Living, Life Coaching with Carla. Join certified life coach Carla McClellan as she shares strategies and solutions designed to help you create a more vibrant life. Now, here's your host, Coach Carla.
Welcome, my friends. Yes, you are listening to Vibrant Living, your show designed to offer you tips and tools for living a life that you love, for living a vibrant life. One thing I want to say to all of you who are listening, whether it's live or you've downloaded this show, is I appreciate so much your sharing your time with me. In this world, we are bombarded with requests for our time and for our money. So please know that I value both and simply want to share with you principles for successful living. Might I even say vibrant living. Now, on today's show, Sleepless in America. Any of you can relate to that? I don't know about you, listeners, but I know that sleep is a precious commodity in my life. And our guest today is an extraordinary woman who has made massive contributions in the fields of holistic health, anti-aging, optimum nutrition, and balanced living. It's one of my favorites, Dr. Susan Smith Jones. Welcome to Vibrant Living, Susan.
Well, thank you, Carla. And I'm so excited about this topic today because I would say about 98% of the people I know, I work with, all have the same complaint as they want to get more quality, deep, sound sleep at night.
Yes, it's very important. We're, and this is rampant in America. I can't think of a client I talk to that doesn't say, oh, if I could just sleep through the night, if I could only wake up feeling rested. And Susan, what I love about you and I value so much, about you coming on this show is you research everything so thoroughly that our listeners are just given tons of information. So when I talk about tools and tips, get your pens and paper out right now, listeners, because get ready for a great show. So Susan, how serious is the sleep debt in America?
Well, you know, it's very, very serious. We hear a lot about it on the nightly news, but the latest reports say that over the past 40 years that Americans have cut their snooze time by about 1 to 2 hours a night. We now sleep less than any other industrialized country, and chronic sleep problems afflict as many as 70 million Americans. You know, and this costs the nation billions in medical expenses, accidents, lost productivity. This is all according to the very latest study. And last year, Carla, doctors wrote a record 43 million prescriptions for sleeping pills.
Oh.
And, you know, they all have negative side effects. So, you know, but this deprivation of sleep really does affect our bodies.
Well, it just wears us out, doesn't it? And it really, it distorts our thinking. It affects our body negatively, and it diminishes our spirit.
It does all of that and so much more. You know, there is, I'll go so far to say that there is nothing more restorative for your body than good sleep, and plenty of it night after night after night. And you and I today aren't talking about the occasional once every 2 weeks or once a month night that you don't get a lot of sleep. We're talking about these chronic sleep issues. If you don't get good sleep, it affects everything from job performance to school to health. We'll go over all this in detail in a little bit, to family harmony. And in particular, the studies say that moms lose about 9 hours of sleep a week.
Oh.
It even impacts our relationships because, according to the latest National Sleep Foundation poll, 25% of couples say that they're too sleepy for sex. And it's been shown that 6 hours of sleep every night, which some people don't even get that, is the equivalency of driving drunk in terms of your mental functions.
Wow.
And when you don't get enough sleep, it undermines your body's ability to deal with stress.
Yes, it certainly does. That because sleep is where we renew and restore our body. That's when the body's healing mechanism can take over. So, Susan, if 6 hours of sleep is the equivalent of driving drunk, how much sleep do we need a night?
Yeah, good question. And this might surprise some people listening. Adults need between 8 and 8.25 hours of sleep to maximize their ability to function daily. Adolescents, and this is according to many studies, adolescents need 9.25. Listen, they're lucky if they get 4 to 5 a
night
from the adolescents I know. Preschoolers need 12 hours, toddlers need 13, and babies need 14 to 18 hours of sleep every night.
Wow. Wow.
And you mentioned a moment ago it's when our body heals. See, the role of sleep is massive. It's to renew, rebuild, repair, restore our body. And sleep is when we reset our appetite control and our pain control. Sleep is when our energy regroups for the day to come. And many people listening are probably thinking, well, I get 4 to 5 to 6 hours a night, and I do okay during the day. And I think it's because many of you are so used to living in this arena of sleep debt that you don't know how much better you can actually feel if you do get good sleep. So I always encourage everyone to make a one-month commitment, 21 days to 30 days, and make that a time when you make getting good sleep non-negotiable. And do whatever you can to get the sleep. We'll talk about all the tips today. I've got others on my website. And see how you feel after 3 to 4 weeks of ample sleep every night.
That sounds like a game worth playing there. See what the improvement is. Because I know for myself that when I get a good night's sleep, I'm just raring to go once the morning starts. But sometimes... And I think it is true that what we can do is we can drive our body, push it through the points where it's screaming at us, stop, stop, and overstimulate our mind to the point that we can't. It seems impossible to turn the mind off and to go to sleep. So I know in your books, Walking on Air and The Joy Factor, you write about the connection between weight and sleep. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah. Now, this is a big one because so many people I know want to lose weight. So keep in mind that sleep affects your hormones that regulate satiety, hunger, and how efficiently you burn calories. You know, to put this really simply, if you get too little sleep chronically, it makes you hungry, and especially for foods that are high in calories and low in nutritional value. Mm-hmm. In other words, you have more of a craving for foods made with white sugar and flour and fried foods like French fries and potato chips. And lack of sleep also primes your body to hold on to all of the calories you eat. So if losing some weight is an important goal for you, you've got to make it non-negotiable that you start getting good sleep at night.
Susan, you know what I read in the paper today? That the latest research shows that 3 out of 4 American women are obese.
I saw that all over the national news today.
Yeah.
You know, it said that 37% of the women were obese and another 30% overweight.
Yes.
That's huge.
It is huge.
And let me give you one of the best latest studies done at Columbia University in New York City about lack of sleep and packing on the pounds. In this study, the researchers found that those who slept, and this is men and women, by the way, those who slept 6 hours a night were 23% more likely to be obese than those who slept between 7 and 9 hours. Those who slept 5 hours were 50% more likely, and those who slept 4 hours or less were 73% more likely to be obese. So if you're eager to drop a few pounds, you want to make getting ample sleep each night a non-negotiable habit for your lifestyle.
Just tell your family you're going on, you're starting a new habit, and that involves going to sleep to lose weight. Because
yes. All right. And speaking of family and relationships, now this might sound crazy to some of you, but I do believe if everyone would strive to get more sleep and feel more rested, people would be more thoughtful towards one another, and the dynamics of the family would run more smoothly because we'd be happier, we'd be in better moods, adults and children. And what a wonderful gift that would be to give our family, our friends, our business associates, our community, and in essence, our entire country by you just beginning with getting more sleep.
Maybe we'd be less cranky with one another.
Without a doubt you would be. Because, I know if I don't get enough sleep, I'm less patient, I'm a little crankier. I'm just not as fun to be around as I normally am.
Right.
And in a little bit, we'll go through some very practical tips to help you get good sleep. And one of the tips will be something you'll never want to do before you go to bed. Just a little teaser there.
There's a teaser. So we're more prone to accidents. We're more prone to eating unconsciously. We're more prone to mood disorders. Anything else that happens in the body with consistent lack of sleep you can think of?
Oh, boy, where do I begin? How do we have a couple hours here? Lack of sleep leads to a variety of health problems, including a toxic buildup. We had a whole show once on detox, you and I did. As I just said, it causes you to gain weight. It accelerates aging. It causes depression, irritability, impatience, low sex drive, memory loss, lethargy, accidents. You know, at least 1,500 reported drowsy driving fatalities happen each year. And, you know, this all happens because, this is what I think, that people are sleeping less now, obviously, than they did a century ago. And this is thanks to electric lighting and a shift to our urban industrialized economy, not to mention all those great late-night television shows. And then the result is a disruption in the basic body metabolism. So with our workloads and daily stress increasing for many Americans, these sleep issues loom larger than ever before in both individuals and in society. And in a study I read yesterday, one of the latest, by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, they estimate that sleep deprivation plays a role in nearly 100,000 traffic accidents each year.
Wow.
And you know, the disasters of Chernobyl and the Exxon Valdez spill, not to mention some recent train crashes, they contribute all those to people falling asleep.
Yes.
When they should be working.
Well, you know, for those of you listening who are parents, I'm sure you've noticed a change in behavior when your kids are hooked up to the Xbox or their iPad or all the different games there are. I know for me, just being around my grandson, it's amazing to me how addictive the lights and the action. I mean, the action on these games, Susan, is so realistic. You really feel like you're involved in the game. And I really ask him to turn it off, and let's go do something outside. Because the other thing I've noticed is he will wake up in the middle of the night and be talking about this game. It's so embedded in their minds. You know,
and you always want the time before you go to bed to be peaceful and relaxing and calming. And definitely you don't want to be playing these video games.
No.
Or even right before you go to bed, watching the nightly news. I mean, you can say, Susan, I'm a very evolved person, and I don't take into my consciousness what I hear on the news. It's hard these days not to be affected by what you hear and see on the news. And as you begin to sink into sleep, you go from beta, waking consciousness, to alpha and then theta. And in alpha, let's say you're beginning to doze off as the nightly news is in the background. I know some people that hold the remote in their hand as they fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
You can't help but be impressed by what's going into your consciousness.
Absolutely. Tonight. Words have power, and there's a lot of violent words being used on TV. And not just with the news, but even with some of the shows on the comedy channel. Susan, we're going to take a break here. Leave the teaser once again for our audience. So that they make sure they come back after this break.
Well, there are some things you definitely do not want to do right before bedtime, and some things you absolutely want to do if sleeping like a baby is important to you.
This is Coach Carla saying you're listening to Vibrant Living.
Now back to Vibrant Living. Life Coaching with Carla.
We're back, my friends. I'm on air today with Susan Smith-Jones, and we're talking about Sleepless in America. Susan Jones has made an extraordinary contribution in the field of holistic health, anti-aging, optimum nutrition, and balanced living. She's a frequent guest on Vibrant Living, and I always enjoy having her on the show because she is just a wealth of information for us. And I can't remember exactly what the statistics were on sleep deprivation in America, but I certainly know client after client comes to me with this complaint. I can't seem to go to sleep. And I'm constantly tired, and life just, you know, seems to be monotonous, one thing after another, and then not sleeping. So, Susan, you promised us some surprising tips for sleeping like a baby.
Yes. And I'll mention, you're right, so many people come to me as well, and I also see depression skyrocketing and gaining weight and losing your joy of living. And all of this, I believe, has to do with how much you sleep at night. When someone comes to see me with a weight issue or they're depressed, the first thing I always will ask them is how much sleep do they get at night? And before I start the tips, let me just, because there are a few of them, and I know I want to run through those without stopping because people will be excited about those. Let me mention one thing about, because lots of people say to me they're under stress, and how lack of sleep affects your hormones and your stress levels. There was a study done very recently at the University of Chicago, and the head of the study, Corinne Spiegel, she and her team of colleagues asked the participants, you and I wouldn't want to be in this study, Carla, to stay in bed for 4 hours per night for 6 nights. Then 12 hours a night for the next 7 nights. And when you're sleep deprived, this is what they discovered, that the blood sugars running in your body, the cortisol, and the sympathetic nervous system activity rose, and the thyrotropin, which regulates thyroid function, it fell. Now, why is that important? Because those results show that chronic sleep deprivation forces your body into that fight or flight response, pushing blood sugars and other hormone-related functions out of kilter. And one of the hormones that goes higher when you don't get enough sleep is the stress hormone called cortisol. And when you have higher cortisol levels, among other things, it will lead to memory loss, an increase in fat storage, and a decrease in your muscle, which you know from a previous weight loss show we did together. This is the perfect combination if you want to lower your metabolism and gain weight easily.
Yep.
But if you want to increase that lean muscle tissue, which is necessary to have a fit, lean body, you need at least 8 hours of sound sleep nightly to encourage muscle maintenance and growth and the release of a hormone called the human growth hormone, which helps keep us youthful and strong. So put another way, sleeping absolutely makes you slimmer.
I love it. I love it.
And you know what? And let me do a part B of her study.
Okay.
And this has to do with accelerated aging. So listen up. If you want to age really quickly, you'll like this part. In that same sleep deprivation study, the participants who slept 4 hours a night for 1 week metabolized glucose 40% more slowly than usual, which is similar to the rate seen in elderly people. And glucose metabolism quickly returned to normal after getting a full night's sleep, not just one night, but every night for a week.
So you mentioned glucose levels seen in elderly people. So, okay, so for me now in the age group I'm in, I want to know, what do you classify as elderly anymore?
Gosh, that's a good question. See, nothing's old to me because I'm aging with you.
that's the thing. I feel
you
like...
Keep your body fit, meaning you don't gain weight, you keep it lean and fit and strong, and you keep the muscle on your body, and you get enough sleep, you really won't show much aging at all. And that's the beauty of this, too, because all the things we'll be talking about today, you have control over. Hopefully,
yes.
You have control over how much you sleep, what you eat, how much exercise you get, the time you spend in nature, you know, keeping stress levels down, drinking enough water. These are all the things that our grandmothers taught us.
Yeah, isn't that
you
true?
You know, Ben Franklin said, you know this one, early to bed, early to rise.
Yep.
Keeps you healthy, wealthy, and wise. I think that's what it was. And I think he was right.
Well, you know, you mentioned the statistic on the number of Americans taking prescription sleep aids.
43 million last year.
And we know with all sleep aids, there are side effects.
Yes.
So is there any natural sleep aids that you recommend?
Yes. Well, there's something I take, and I recommend it in my private practice. You know, I don't sell any products. I just recommend the best of the best. And these are best-selling products in Whole Foods and other health food stores as well. They're by Michael's Naturopathic Programs. And one is called Sleep Factors, and the other is called Essential Minerals. Now, let me mention something about minerals and nutrients you need when you sleep.
Yes.
Many nutrients are necessary even during sleep. Some vitamins are important for stimulating amino acids like tryptophan into serotonin, which is a sleep neurotransmitter. And during sleep, the body's autonomic systems are still controlling basic functions like the glands, the organs, the muscles, metabolism, and respiration. And to prepare for 8 hours at night, when we don't take any new nourishment, we need a store of nutrients as a reserve in our body. And the following nutrients are essential for overall health and are used during sleep. One is calcium. It helps with relaxation, and it's more readily absorbed by the body at night. And that works well with magnesium, which helps transport calcium, and they both play a role in the nervous system. Niacinamide is a form of a B-complex vitamin niacin, and it's required for the conversion of the amino acid phenylalanine to tryptophan. And for those of you that have a hard time returning to sleep after waking up in the middle of the night, this niacinamide will help you do that. The Sleep Factors also has in it 5-HTP. HTP is hydroxytryptophan, and that's an amino acid and a precursor to the biosynthesis of neurotransmitter serotonin and melatonin from tryptophan. It's got melatonin in it. It's got the nervines, passion flower, hops, and skullcap. And by the way, calcium, magnesium, and iron, these minerals all have a sedative effect. So I combine, and I love this because I ease into sleep gently. I stay asleep. If I have to get up in the middle of the night to use the bathroom, I go right back to sleep. So I take Michael's sleep factors and Michael's essential minerals. Now, if you go to my website, my name, SusanSmithJones.com, and if you're there today, the very first blog article is all about sleeping like a baby. You can learn about these two products. You take them an hour before bedtime, and everybody I know that takes them wishes they knew about these years ago. And my navigation bar over to the right, it says favorite products. And the first heading is Michael's naturopathic programs. So you can go there to learn more about these two. There are no negative side effects. There's no, they're not habit forming. They support falling asleep naturally. And lucky for us, the owner of the company, Michael, is giving anybody who wants these products a 25%. See, you can go to Whole Foods and get them, but if you call the, if you go to michaelshealth.com, or you go, or you call there. Where are they? They're in San Antonio, Texas. You can call toll free at Central Time. Here, I'll give you the toll free number. It's 800-845-2730. And you'll get 25% off with the code VITALITY15. That's 800. I always call and order because I like to talk to real live people. But it's 800-845-2730. And with the code VITALITY15, you'll get 25% off. If anybody listening has any type of sleep issue, I'd say get a bottle of each. Try them out for a month. They're not that expensive. You're getting a discount, and you will love what they do to your body to help you sleep. I know you've taken them. I always take them when I travel, and a few nights a week I might take them an hour before bedtime.
Well, that's what I found is about an hour before I wanted to be asleep, I took them, and it was, you know, very gently went into sleep and slept well all the way through the night. The question I wanted to ask you, and please, listeners, if you have a question for Susan, jump on the phone now. I know it takes a little bit of courage, but we're waiting here for you. Jeff, our engineer, is sitting right by the phone now. Call 888-558-6489, 888-558-6489. If you've got any question you'd like to ask Susan about sleep, the question I had for you, Susan, is should you take these every night?
Some people do, but you also find that when you get the essential minerals in your body and you've built them up, that you really don't need to take them every night. So, you know, play it. What do you say? Play it by ear. You know, see how it does with your body. I wouldn't just take them because it becomes a habit. I would take it when you have that sleeplessness, because the healthier you get, the fewer problems you'll have with going to sleep. I know sometimes I'm stressed out, and especially when I travel,
yes.
I'm in a new environment, new bed, a hotel room.
Don't have my pillow.
It really helps me to go to sleep. I always take these with me when I travel.
Well, I know I'm grateful for having them in my bag. So, listeners, I really mean it. Give us a call if you've got a question. To ask Susan about sleep, because she's got some wonderful, wonderful tips and tools for you. So, Susan, are there any superfoods that can help us drift off to sleep?
You know what? There are some good foods. Now, keep in mind that at night, proteins make you more alert, and carbohydrates make you more relaxed. You know, proteins inhibit tryptophan's journey to the brain. and essence, making you feel more mentally alert, whereas carbo-rich foods help send the amino acid tryptophan to the brain, which induces sleep. But keep in mind, you never want a big meal before bedtime, because
right.
the role of sleep, as I said, is to rebuild, renew, repair. And if you eat a big meal too close to bedtime, instead of doing all that, your body instead will be digesting, absorbing, assimilating, metabolizing, eliminating, and consequently you wake up more tired than when you went to sleep. But if, let's say, an hour before bedtime, you're really, really hungry, not just because you're stressed out or depressed, but you really are hungry, a banana is not a bad thing to have, a ripe banana. Potassium and magnesium in the banana are natural muscle relaxants, and also, and they're a good source in the banana, and they also contain that L-tryptophan, which then gets converted to 5-HTP in the brain, and as I just mentioned, that 5-HTP, which is in the sleep factors by Michael's products, is converted to serotonin and melatonin. Cherries are one of the few foods that have melatonin in them.
Oh, wow.
So having some cherries an hour before bedtime might help. Oatmeal, actually, oats are rich in melatonin. That doesn't mean you should have a huge bowl
right.
of oatmeal right before bedtime. But even lemon balm or chamomile tea, about 40 to 45 minutes before bedtime to give you time to go to the bathroom before bedtime. Those are very calming teas to have.
And so lots of times, like in the evening, when I get into what I call my grazing mode, what I've noticed a lot of the times, it's I'm just tired. And somehow I think food will wake me up or something, that distorted thought process. But really what I need is just to go to bed, no matter what the time is.
Carla, that is so right. Because remember I said that when you're really tired, especially combined with being in sleep debt, it makes you hungry for foods that are not good for you and primes your body to hold on to all of the calories you eat. So here's what you could do at night. These are some of my, you'll find the rest in my latest blog article and on my website. Just put in sleep like a baby. But here are some of my commandments for getting good sleep. One is, and this is what you got to talk to your grandson about, you always want to wind down and relax before sleep. You don't want to keep your brain mentally stimulated. That's why there's a time at night that I cut off even looking at email, and I don't even answer the phone because I want to relax because I know how important it is to get to sleep. Now, you never want to do this if getting good sleep is important to you. You want to avoid nighttime calls and turn off your cell phone before bed, because a study at the University of Zurich found that when you expose people to electromagnetic fields from cell phones, it altered their brain waves during sleep, resulting in sleep disturbances. So if you need to use a phone, use a landline.
How many people that are listening sleep with the phone right by their bed?
That's right.
You
Some
know?
People use it as their alarm clock.
Absolutely.
I know. So we're just giving the information out here.
Yeah.
If you use the bathroom at night, remember, never turn on a bright light, because this shuts down your melatonin level for the rest of the night. Instead, have a faint nightlight there. Now, and I talk about in that first blog that's there today on the website, I talk about your body heat. Increasing evening body heat is an effective way to promote deeper sleep. That's why it's a good reason to give babies a bath before bedtime.
Mm.
See, normally your body temperature hits a peak 2 hours before bedtime, you know, a high peak. And as your body temperature drops, melatonin is released, and your body gets physiologically ready for sleep. And the bigger the drop in temperature, the deeper the drop into deep sleep. And people with insomnia, this is so fascinating to me, do not have the normal drop in temperature, so So they're not as ready for deep sleep. So heating up your body with exercise, but you don't want to do that right before bedtime because it gives that adrenaline release and it revs up your metabolism. So at least 4 hours before bedtime can assist in a physiological drive into deep sleep. Actually, I've found that if you exercise any time during the day, and I usually do this in the morning, you'll sleep better at night. And my favorite way to sleep, but this does cost money, and I write about it in that blog and in another one, is if you take an infrared sauna, because that heats up the entire core of your body about 2 hours before bedtime, you will be amazed at how beautifully you sleep, because that's a much deeper core temperature rise than just simply a bath or a shower. And then that drop of your body cooling down flushes out so much more melatonin, and it will promote really deep, sound sleep.
Wow. So,
and then also, you know, this pretty much goes without saying, but you want to keep your bedroom quiet, dark, cool, and comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And even in the winter, a little bit of oxygen coming in through a window. Then you can add oxygen in the bedroom by putting a live plant in your bedroom, because it gives off oxygen and it takes up carbon dioxide. So a plant is a good thing to have. And if it's hot, let's say it's the time of year when it's hot, to have just the pillow cold will really help you sleep. So you know those blue or different colored gel bags you put in the freezer in case you get a sprain or a strain? Sometimes I'll put one of those 30 minutes before I know I'm going to go to bed on my pillow, and I get the pillow really cold, and then I move that gel pack over. I take it out of the freezer and put it on the pillow, and it just having your head on something cool or cold actually will help you sleep.
Oh, you know, that's so funny, because my grandson and I were talking the other day how much we like our pillows to be cold, but I never thought about really making them cold. That's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, and it's so easy to do. You know, I always have those gel packs in my
freezer. Yeah, we keep
them. Now, you want to avoid sedatives and alcohol, and you don't want to have anything with caffeine in it after about 2 p.m., and you also want to make sure that your bed linens and your pajamas, if you wear them, are made from natural fibers. Because synthetic fibers like polyester, to make a long story short, they attract positive ions to your body. And paradoxically, the negative ions are the ones that are the healthy ones that help you secrete more serotonin. Positive ions are what you find, like during Santa Ana winds and the full moon, make you depressed.
Uh-huh.
So you want to have natural fiber pajamas and bed linen sheets so that you have more health-promoting, sleep-enhancing negative ions around you in the bedroom. Now, most people don't know that, but and then what color are the walls in your bedroom? I had a very famous celebrity, you would know who she is, a movie star, who came to me because she did everything I recommended. She did the cold pillow, she had the sauna, she didn't eat too close to bedtime, but she couldn't get to sleep. And so I said, let me come over to your bedroom, let's see what's going on. Well, not only did she have a huge computer system in the corner of her bedroom, but all of the bedroom walls were painted a bright red.
Oh.
And that's a stimulating color.
Right.
Red, orange, bright yellow aren't conducive to feeling calm and tranquil. It's better to have a calming color. You know, that might be a pale blue or a soft green or a softer color, not such a loud color like red.
No, my office at home is cherry red, you know.
That's okay for the office.
Because I want to stay energized and enthusiastic, but my bedroom is a dark, dark purple.
Yes. Oh, that's nice. That's beautiful. And also, I take a little bottle of the essential oil of lavender with me when I travel, because I rarely get a headache. But if I ever do, that putting that on your temples helps. And if you put a little bit on your pillowcase, and I usually put a face towel on my pillowcase so the moisturizer from my skin doesn't get on the pillowcase. But I'll either have a diffuser next to my bed with lavender oil, or put just a few drops on my pillowcase, because studies show that when you breathe in that beautiful fragrance of lavender, it calms you down. It's wonderful.
It's
very inexpensive.
It truly is. I just love using lavender in my bedroom. So
yes, and what I do sometimes too is I'll take a little cotton ball and I'll put some on a cotton ball and I'll put it right next to my pillow. Sometimes like in a little plastic bowl or something. So it doesn't matter what side I sleep on. I can get the fragrance of that. Now, I also want to mention that you've got to make sure you've got a good mattress. If you go to my website and go to favorite products or go to that first blog, you'll see the mattress I use. But if your mattress is over about 8 years old, you can be pretty assured that it has dust mites in it and lots of sweat and lots of toxic residue. So you need a good mattress, and you also need to make sure you have good pillows. Mm-hmm. I don't recommend ever sleeping on your stomach. It's very hard on your back, especially your lower back, and it does promote wrinkles. It's better to sleep on your back with a pillow under your knees or on your side with a pillow in between your knees, just for good alignment.
Yes, that alignment is important. And especially the older we get. I mean, I find very definitely that to be on my side and have my body aligned makes a big difference in how I wake up. The question.
And I noticed that so much when I'm in a hotel,
yes,
and I don't have my good mattress and my good pillows, and I see how my body feels in the morning, and then. Gosh, it makes me miss my bed at home. It makes me so eager to get home and enjoy the comforts of, you know, because I've made my bedroom like a wonderful sanctuary, very conducive to sleep. The one thing I do in the corner of my bedroom, but this is good energy, is for decades I have a little corner where I sit to meditate. I do that first thing in the morning before most of you ever wake up. And often I bookend my day sometime before I go to bed with another meditation, and that's always in the corner of my bedroom. But when I go to make house calls with my clients and patients and I check out their bedrooms and they have the whole computer system set up in there, what we do is we look for another place in the house to set that up so you don't have all of that electromagnetic energy and fields in the bedroom that will disturb your sleep.
And, also,
and even the light of the TV,
yes,
at night. You can't go to sleep because you've got the TV on.
You know,
So it's best, you know, I know easier said than done. I know this, but it's best to use the bedroom just for sleep and sex.
Yes.
You know, and if you're not sleepy and go in the other room or read a calming book, you know, like my Joy Factor or Walking on Air, a calming, uplifting book. That's okay to read before bedtime. And then you'll drift off to sleep.
I have to read. I've somehow got myself trained from the time I can remember is I've got to read 15 or 20 minutes before I go to sleep. And
I love that. And you read upbeat, uplifting things,
right,
that are good for your consciousness, right?
Right. It's a great time for gratitude. It's a great time,
yes,
for forgiveness work. You know, just to ask for forgiveness from your body for in any way during the day you might have pushed it, injured it, or insulted it without meaning to, and then going through people and just sending out blessings as you go to sleep. It's just a wonderful way to drift off. Before we close here today, Susan, there's one other question I wanted to ask you about. And that's, can you catch up on more sleep? And are naps a good idea?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Too big a question.
Let's do naps first. Well, let's do catching up on sleep.
Okay.
You require about 8 hours nightly. And this is of sleep. This isn't 2 hours of getting to sleep. It's of sleep. And every hour you lose adds to your sleep indebtedness. And you cannot expect to catch up by sleeping late one day a week, because the lost sleep, Carla, it accumulates progressively and contributes to long-term health issues. And this doesn't just pertain to adults, because children and teens, as I mentioned up top there, actually need even more sleep than adults. And, you know, especially with teenagers these days, if they have lots of sleep loss, it increases the chance of accidents and depression and violent and aggressive behavior.
Yes.
Now, in terms of napping, you know, there are a few enlightened businesses that are adopting this pioneering view that napping actually can promote productivity. And some companies I'm aware of even provide special nap rooms for employees. You know, naps should be recognized as a powerful tool in battling fatigue. However, if you have insomnia, naps actually can aggravate your night's sleep, because when you take the edge off your sleepiness, an afternoon nap might make it even harder for you to get to sleep at night. So in other words, if you're sleepy because of insomnia, napping should be avoided. Here's one more quick thing. Naps are not recommended after a meal. You see, it's natural to want a nap after eating.
Yes.
Think about Thanksgiving and Christmas, big meals. Because distension from the stomach from the meal increases the deep sleep drive. But the problem is that if you've overeaten, the digestive process interferes with your quality of sleep. And conversely, sleep interferes with the digestive process. You're better off to allow digestion to occur before sleeping, as both digestion and sleep tend to work better when performed separately.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, Susan, once again, you have given my listeners so much information, and also told them how to get on your website to get more articles and information and learn more about the different research that you've done. I appreciate you so very much for your generosity and your wisdom that you share with us. I look forward to our next show and can't wait to see what topic you come up with for us next to share with our audience. This is
Thank you. I'll make it a good one.
I know you will. This is Life Coach Carla saying to each and every one of you, be brave. Try something, especially this summer, that makes you a little uncomfortable, that takes you out of that zone of comfort. Try something that you just know would make you feel like you were an adventurer. Be brave. Love lavishly. The world sure needs it. And laugh loudly. It raises the vibration of joy in each and every one of our experiences of life. Until next week, be blessed, my friends.